Good morning, John. How are you?
Good. I'm fine. And yourself?
We're just having a ball here, going through this this ridiculous crap that we're dealing here in Washington State, and how one of our legislator here, Matt Shea, has been being attacked by his own Republican Party for just being a good constitutionalist, a former veteran, and he's being vilified by his own party.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, you know, we've been somewhat involved with some of these things you've been talking with, like the wildlife preserve. You know, we were out there also. Unfortunately, there were individuals out there that were trying to subvert what we're doing and created some other, and was trying to take control of what was going out there as far as bringing these things into the court. But we did do some indictments out there. We indicted quite a few people out there with the wildlife preserve situation. I'm just quickly looking. If you want to look at this on the website, you can go to our website, nationallibertyalliance.org. And under the grand jury tab, you can click on the action against the judiciary. And we also still have the evidence up there for this action. I think if you clicked on...
Okay, which tab?
Do grand jury tab. Highlight the grand jury tab, and then click on the first one below it, which is action against the judiciary.
Got it. Okay.
And you'll scroll down a little bit, and you'll see the murder of Lavoy Finnegan. It's a 24-page murder conspiracy indictment that we wrote, and we indicted probably about 25 to 30 people. We indicted for murder and conspiracy. At the top of the list is Hillary Clinton. We also mm-hmm. went after Harry Mason Reed, the BLM agent in charge. I forget his name. Oh, Daniel Love, the attorney general, Loretta Lynch. Mm-hmm. We even indicted James Comey, FBI director, Governor Katherine Brown, and numerous other people, attorneys, judges, FBI agents, and so on. And you can see the list as you come down if you wanted to go through it. And so, this thing that you're talking about also with the gun issue down there in Virginia, mm-hmm. we're in the process of writing a paper, serving it on the United States Supreme Court, again, laying it before their feet. They're responsible. We're still giving them the olive branch until the deep state goes down, which... listening to what's going on lately, you hear about Giuliani and the big bomb he dropped over the weekend. Mm-hmm. And he's coming out with a podcast, which we're going to pay close attention to. We're going to post up an indictment consideration on these issues and repost his podcasts for the jurists to go take a look at. And whenever he finishes with his layout of all the crimes and the people involved, we'll take notes on this. And then we'll call for the grand jury, hopefully in about 3 weeks, maybe, because I think he said it's going to be about a week or two to go through this whole thing to lay out mm-hmm. all that he has. So then we'll bring it before the grand jury, maybe 3 weeks down the line for indictments, and send it out accordingly to all parties involved. The Justice Department, the President of the United States, United States Supreme Court, federal district courts, and Congress, both houses, and we'll send a copy to Giuliani. And we'll see where that goes. You know, look, it's only a matter of time. We've done quite a bit of indictments, and we're also pursuing with this paperwork, we're putting everyone on notice. We're putting the IRS on notice. We're putting the federal government on notice, ultimately. Concerning this gun issue.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to take this on the federal level and go after the individuals on the federal that have a duty to protect and serve, you know, the Constitution, uphold it. And the bottom line is we are going to take it before the grand jury. I think we're going to try to shoot for this Thursday. I don't know whether we're going to achieve that date because we still have some homework and time to get information up and people have to digest it. So it might be the following Thursday we'll go for indictment consideration. But what we're going to tell them is this. With the gun issue, any individual that picks up his hand to swears an oath of office after being elected and then subverts that constitution by going up against his oath to bring forth, socialism, gun mm-hmm. control, and all those things. That's a direct assault upon our our Constitution, we the people.
Absolutely.
People can believe and discuss whatever they want. They can even discuss and believe in socialism and so on and so forth, if that's what they like. But once they start to form an educational process or a plan to subvert, and especially when these individuals start to take office and use their office to subvert, they become guilty of treason. And so we're going to be asking the grand jury for the authority to indict every and all federal judges and also agents, the different agencies, mm-hmm. and a few other things. We're working all this out. But we want them to give us the authority with a blanket indictment on any elected official that steps up and starts to use his elected office as a platform to spring forward all of these anti-constitutional positions. Now, this is an extraordinary action that we're taking, but everything we're doing is an extraordinary action. You know, the purpose of what we're doing here at National Liberty Alliance, by bringing together and reforming militias, both the reserve militia and the regular militia itself, to restructure mm-hmm. it across this nation in every county, mm-hmm. Building the administrations for the grand juries in order to bring back courts of justice and bring the people back in charge in every county across the nation, and also the committeeman process, by taking back our political process and being and taking back the control of consent of government by deciding who gets onto those tickets, and not the party bosses and or people who are anointed by these deep state individuals on top.
Oh, yeah.
So we got a lot going on here, and we got a lot of indictments. The other thing is the IRS. You know, we found out that we got quite a few people within our structure that is being assaulted by the IRS, myself mm-hmm. included. But they've been assaulting me for over 20 years. Nevertheless, they recently picked that back up again, and now they're going after my family. And I see a lot of people out there that have the same problem. And so we're doing a paper right now. We're going to be filing it. And we're going to give warning. You know, the IRS is a private corporation. It appeared, I think it was 1974. I forget exactly what year. In the research, I've written it down. But the IRS did not exist as an agency until around the 1970s. And it just appeared there amongst the other agencies. There was no legislative authority. There was no congressional decision-making. There was no debate. There was nothing. It mm-hmm. just appeared. And, of course, they are the legal arm, the enforcement arm of the Federal Reserve.
Well, they're the collection agency for the Federal Reserve is what
that's
they are.
That's the IRS.
Yeah.
Yes. And so, you know, they're the arm of that, the enforcement arm. And so we're going to go after these people. It's enough. They break, you know, they come in and break down people's doors. They do it in the middle of the night with people that, you know, most people aren't even armed, but they do it only because they claim a debt that doesn't even really exist. Mm-hmm. And they break down the door. They terrorize families. They kill animals. I've heard of incidences where people are actually shot and potentially killed on these things. We've heard of incidences, I don't know if it was IRS related, where these SWAT teams break down the door, terrorize the family, and people got killed, and it was the wrong house.
Yeah.
And this is how evil these people are. Look, even if they were armed, you don't want to go into their house. You wait till they're out in the open somewhere where it's safe to and secured to be able to go out and get them. Breaking down doors with SWAT teams and doing things like that, the SWAT teams are only necessary when there is someone being held hostage and they have to deal with that problem. Mm-hmm. But arresting people, that certainly should not be the case. But we're going out. We're going to ask for a blanket indictment across the board. For all the leader of these SWAT teams to begin with, the individuals who have put this together, of course, especially with the IRS, particularly we're talking about, mm-hmm. With the IRS agents involved, the commissioner of the IRS, and all these people that participate in these illegal terrorist activities, we're going to ask for an indictment. Mm-hmm. Again, a blanket indictment. So as these people bring it to our attention and bring the names of these people and affidavits laying out what took place, then we're going to follow that right up immediately with indictment to make notification to the proper authorities with the Justice Department, seeking, the judicial process to go forward. So we got a lot of things going on, And people need to get involved, by the way. If you're out there and you're a patriot, and you're a real patriot that wants to do something, not just listen in or whatever, but you really want to do something, come out to nationallibertyalliance.org. Click on our front page, look, read, and see exactly what we're doing. And if you want to participate with us, become a member and start getting active. Join the militia, become a committeeman, maybe even an administrator for the juries. Let's take this nation back.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, I've got it up on the screen here again. We've shown everybody the National Liberty Alliance website here, and the courses, free civics course, and is here for you. Let's see. I'm gonna log in, so because there's things that are on here when I get logged in.
I see Gerard's on here. Maybe he can pipe in some things too.
Yeah. If he's
Gerard is a co-founder of National Liberty Alliance.
Mm-hmm.
Can you hear me? Is my mic working?
It is working fine, sir.
Yep. Okay. Well, I always wonder. I have more trouble with this dang thing. Two things. Don't forget the Treasury Department, I believe, is the enforcement arm. Isn't that who you end up meeting with that time, John?
The Treasury Department. But remember, you know, the Treasury Department, they come out. They're kind of the legal staff, in my opinion. And, of course, they got the power to arrest. But I understand.
Well, they had guns
they
on their side.
The
I know that.
From the IRS, from, you know, the BL, you know, the alcohol, tobacco, and firearm, you know, agency, so to speak, you know, which is really under the wing of the IRS. And I would believe that the Treasury Department probably is operating in sync, of course, at least with the IRS. But we spoke with them, spoke with the IRS agents, and we've gone after in the past. The commissioner threatened them with indictments, and we didn't threaten them with indictments. Actually, we did a lawsuit and against the commissioner, the IRS commissioner, and a couple of agents, they were trying to do some seizures, so we sued the sheriff and the county clerk for the sole purpose of really freezing their activities of any action of seizures, so we really wasn't going after them. In any event, that was a case that was settled. The IRS settled that behind the scenes, and it was advantageous at the time to take that settlement instead of pushing forward. We didn't have the structure here with the National Liberty Alliance yet, with the grand jury and all of the jurists, because we got over 8,000 jurists at this point that have signed up. So maybe 80 or 100 people will show up at an indictment and we'll go through the process. But anyway, at the time, we were not set up for that. So getting out of the claws of the IRS was the key thing. And we did get we got release of liens. We got an apology letter. They were foolish enough to even write that that the individual wasn't even liable for tax that year. To even file for it. Now, that's pretty serious, because that'll definitely be used in court when they try to claim you have to file. In the paper that we're putting together, it's going to be very, very educational for anyone who is up against the IRS. We're going to lay out information that you'll be able to use in your own court cases, or you can join up with us and attach your affidavit with us. And, you know, there's safety in numbers. Mm-hmm. And of course, in coming forward in the name of the grand jury, they are now singling out the common law grand jury and trying to assault us. And they've weaponized, of course, a long time ago, the IRS, and they're using that weapon against us. And we are determined to take them down.
Hey, John.
Yeah.
I'm sure you've been on here before, and I know you've probably mentioned it, but it bears repeating because we have new people coming in all the time. A lot of times, you know, and this is the government's claim too. Oh, you're not a valid grand jury. Well, I got one thing to say. Everybody needs to go read that U.S. versus Williams, because that was the paperwork that really empowered us, where he lays out what the grand jury is and where it gets its power from. And he uses some very powerful sentences and phrases in there. And he says, look, it's from the people. It's from the Bill of Rights, even though it's not written in the Constitution. and it operates almost as a fourth branch of government. They cannot tell you how to assemble it or who to do it. Now, yes, the government can assemble a grand jury if they think they need to, but we the people have that right, under the Fifth Amendment and the Bill of Rights. And if you read that paper, Scalia lays it out. There's no doubt that this is a people thing, that it's the power of the people coming together, and we can indict when we do it according to, you know, proper due process, which we do. That's the big thing, is that, you know, that you exercise that due process. And they can't tell us that we're not valid, because, you know, look, they receive their power from us. And when we get together and we do an investigation and then we do notices and we do indictments, that sticks. That's from the people. That's nothing to play around with. So, you know, we're not looking for a judge to bless us or anything like that. It's, look, you have to work under the auspices of the court. But, you know, when we send these things in, it's the judge's duty to act on them. It's part of his job.
They can't ignore these things. That's the thing. They just can't summarily say, oh, we don't agree with this, so we're just not going to do it. What was it that was there was something here just recently, Jared or John, you guys may recall. Well, I believe it was it had to do with the Virginia issue, and there was a petition or a suit that was filed.
We indicted that the governor of Virginia.
Yeah, and it was an indictment, and I believe that you had Brent Winters who was helping with that, and several others, and they basically, you know, it went through the a couple of the one lower court, and then it got to the next higher court, where they were appealing the decision of the lower court because it was in your favor, I believe. And then in their denial, they used only pieces of the statements in the law that appeared to give them the authority, when in fact, when you read the whole sentence, they did what Schiff is doing in the Senate right now, is either totally twisting the law, or, you know, picking out two or three words that seem to make their case for them, which, if you take it in the context of the whole sentence,
yeah, they're notorious for that.
I mean, for crying out loud, how can the American people stand back and let this happen?
The unfortunate thing is that most people are still sleeping, and they're just being awoken to some of this stuff, and they're starting to get little bits and pieces. And you can see that that's true, because, you know, Trump's popularity is just bursting at the seams and continues to grow. I'm going to predict the second time in history, I'm going to predict a unanimous election by the states, of course, for Donald Trump. He's going to win the electoral votes, I think, in every state of the union. I really believe that that's a good possibility, considering what's going on and what's going to happen in the next couple of weeks, you know, what's going to be blown up. But Gerard had mentioned United States versus Williams, and that's a very, very important case. There are certain cases, and there's probably a handful of cases, that people really should read. And if you go up to National Liberty Alliance, highlight the grand jury again, and you come down to landmark Supreme Court cases. And these are cases that definitely should be read, but very particularly the most important three cases that is the most powerful, in my opinion. Of course, number one is United States versus Williams. And I don't know that I can put one above the other, because they all have their different things that they do. But Miranda versus Arizona was a hugely, hugely powerful win for the people. And it is a case that should be read by the people, and take out the little nuggets of gold in there that you can use at some point in time if you're in a court or something and fighting these evil son of a guns. Mm-hmm. But Marbury versus Madison, an extremely important case and understanding, and it really lays out some things in there.
I've heard of that one before. That's
one of the real first United States Supreme Court cases, I believe. And it's very powerful, and it was a debate and argument concerning the appointments of individuals, and they brought forth the Constitution and laid it out clearly, the powers and the authorities of the president to make the choices, and also and of course has to be by the approval of Congress, you know, the judiciary and different offices that he appoints people for, it laid a lot of information out on that. It's an education, but look at, we are here. There's one main reason we have been lulled to sleep, okay? And that was purposely done in, you know, in the 20th century throughout that whole process. Entertainment really built up, TV, movies, TV, you know, radio, of course, all these things. And they've come to sort of the pinnacle. You know, we've been bombarded with things. They've seized control through central control of education. They seized control of our education. You know, really are teaching socialism, and that has been moved in. I remember when I was younger, you know, all of these things were starting to move in. You know, you can't say Christmas. They put the X for Christ in Christmas. Mm-hmm. You know, they started to remove religious instructions in public schools, taking down the Ten Commandments as it built up eventually. And this has been progressively going on little by little. So we've been like a, sort of like a slow boil.
Mm-hmm. That's the frog in the pot.
Yeah, exactly. The proverbial. But the people need to wake up and need to now, you know, get involved. You have to become educated. People think that they're educated enough to know what they're not. Unless you understand the Constitution and are reasonably fluid in it, you really are not ready to be able to be mature enough to take control of this nation. Mm-hmm. We need to understand how the political structure works. It is not boring. It's very exciting to understand the debates. And we've summarized a lot of this stuff. And again, you know, the government by consent course and our civil course, those two courses, okay, alone is the foundation for knowledge. I mean, even if you just knew those things, and it is the most of the information you really need. If you went through that and understood those things in those two courses, you are perfectly and fully capable and ready with the ability to take control and bring back, you know, the consent to the people to step up and work with us to do that. And that's why we put those courses up there, to give what Jefferson referred to as a proper education. Mm-hmm. And people need that proper education. They need to understand our heritage. They need to understand our roots, where we came from, how it came to be, to understand that we are the only true republic in the entire world. We are the only one. You know, there was only one other before, and that was back in 1600 BC with Israel.
Israel, yeah.
And since then, you know, they tried to percolate it up through, and it was very close to some degree in Britain. You know, the Germanic tribes came down and they brought the common law and really, you know, Israel's, you know, what would I say? Well, the common law, let's put it that way, because everything is about the law, which brings us right back to God. But anyway, they brought it down. The big mistake they made was the same mistake that destroyed Israel. Israel was destroyed because they wanted a king like the other people. Mm-hmm. And once they wanted a king, God said, well, okay, you want a king? Go ahead, choose him. You got it. And that was the end. That was the beginning of the end for Israel, because mm-hmm. they chose the flesh over the spirit. But here in the United States, you know, that's what happened in England, okay, in Britain. They chose the king to be mm-hmm. the sovereign, to hold the sovereignty for all. And, of course, as that king went evil and bad, you know, he kept his sovereignty to himself, became self-focused, and we lost our sovereignty. And there again, we tried to recapture it, of course, in 1215 with the goodness, why is it slipping my mind, Gerard?
Magna Carta.
Magna Carta, thank you. With the Magna Carta, okay? So now here we are, and they offered America is born. Jefferson had researched this up and set it all up. Our founding fathers were in one accord and understanding where we came from and how we're going to put this thing together. They offered Washington the crown, and of course he rejected it, and we went forward with the republic that we have. So we're the first true republic, second only to Israel, that exists, and we are literally under God. And how are we under God is in our courts. You know, our nation, our government will be as honest and as just as our courts are. And when you see all the evil stuff going on in our government, then you understand the evil that is going on in the courts. It is severe. And we intend on stopping this. And we got the pressure on. Look at we're nailing the letter to their door. We're laying it at the fault of all this at the feet of the United States Supreme Court. And we do intend on bringing up for indictment every single United States Supreme Court justice, all nine of them, if necessary, to bring up for indictment, if necessary. We've given them the olive branch. We've let them know we understand they're stuck between a rock and a hard place. They got a gun to their head, maybe. We understand that. Scalia couldn't break away from it. Even a mayor of New York City, I always believed that he was not involved with any of the things that went down there in 9/11. And he was stuck between a rock and a hard place. Now he's been released. You know, the pressure valve is open, and it's pouring out. And it's pouring out in the courts. It's pouring out in the political process. It's pouring out everywhere. And when that deep state finally goes down, and we get that vacuum, that power vacuum that will come to be, because they'll relinquish their hold on government, the power at that point. And now these judges, all of these political animals, there's not a rock they can hide under. There is no place protecting them. They've been doing what they've been doing because they've been protected. They were above the law. You couldn't get to them. But when that happens, it's all over. And that is when the people will take control. And it's that we will know who's going to stand up for truth in the United States Supreme Court. And we'll understand who then at that point we need to indict. And of course, a lot of things are going to happen. It's going to be somewhat chaotic everywhere to some degree. Thank God Trump is the president of the United States that not only brought this to this point in time, but I believe is well capable and planned out to, you know, keep the lid on things and bring us through a reasonably, you know, soft transition back to the republic again. And Trump knows. He knows. No one is above the law. These people have got to be stopped. We got to shut them down with their rule, too. We got to get rid of this civil law that they brought up in place of our common law. We got to take back our courts. We got to take back control of our militias and back to into the states and apply it away the Constitution. The federal government can call the militia, but it needs to be under the auspices of the states, not a National Guard. And we need to pump up the reserve militia. People need to get everybody should be involved with the reserve militia. Everybody. And even if you're, you know, at a point where you're not capable anymore of maybe, you know, carrying a weapon and getting out there in the battlefield, that's okay. You can be behind the scenes working. You could be a number to bring our numbers up for more people. You know, we have, you know, the older people, especially, you know, they've lived around for a while, and they've developed wisdom. The wisdom comes from experience. It's not something you can learn in the sense through a book. You know, all that knowledge is important to structure your mind, but the wisdom comes to it really with age and time. And in my humble opinion, a bent knee to God. And that is the necessities to bring forth wisdom. So we have people, everybody should be involved. Everybody should be running to become committeemen, to make that decision making, to decide who these statesmen are going to be or not be, because they're not statesmen that we're going to put onto the ticket, the ballot for election. And if people fail to do it, you know, there's a saying out there, people don't fail to plan. People don't plan to fail, but they fail to plan. And that's where we are destroyed. People need to be educated. They need to come to an understanding of who and what we are and how this structure works and how it came to be. They need to understand their powers and authorities. They need to step up and take that power and take that authority and exercise it and take back this republic, or we're going to lose it.
Sorry, John, I had to step away for just a moment. I'm back.
It's okay. The silence is probably good.
John took a breath.
I hear he does that occasionally.
Yeah. Take a couple deep breaths, John, now.
Well, I got to get some air to my brain a little bit.
You know, you know, it's funny what you said about what's going on with Schiff and how he's cherry picking, you know, citations that of the law. When we first went into court, oh my goodness, we were worried about everything, and they held our feet to the fire on some of this stuff. We had to shepherdize, like, you couldn't just use a citation of law. You had to go back through and make sure that it wasn't amended or updated,
right?
Because if you quoted a law and then it was changed and you misquoted it, they could sanction you. They could,
yeah.
You know, they,
yeah. Well, that's their game.
Well, you know what? When we had on the job training, we were kind of really ignorant when we first went in, and we were hoping to find a good judge. And you know, I don't know if we would ever went in if we really knew what we were up against. But we were, you know, like children, and so we did it. And they didn't expect it because you know we're coming in with no lawyers as ourselves, and they don't like that because they can't treat us the way lawyers do. Lawyers are officers of the court, and there's a certain amount of control they have over them. Well, they had absolutely no control over us.
They can be barred.
Yeah.
I mean, barred from the bar.
The only thing they could do is hold us in contempt. And that's, you know, if you're respectful and you know how to say, I do not wish to be held in contempt, he's done.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's all you got to do. If he says something and he's admonishing you, you go, well, Your Honor, I do not wish to be held in contempt. Well, guess what? That disarms his whole thing right there because that says that you're cooperating, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, we were very careful about what we wrote and you know, and later on we got a little persnickety more than we do now because, you know, we were just getting frustrated and we said a lot of things that other people probably would never say in court. We got away with that too. But you know they don't like you to come in as yourself as a person because number one, if you're going up against any other lawyers, they have the judge himself has an obligation to protect you from being abused by the legal system and the lawyers, and he doesn't want that responsibility. See, if you got a lawyer, you're protected, and he doesn't have to worry about anything. So it puts it puts some burden on his shoulders, and they don't like that. You know,
mm-hmm.
And I mean, we never went in and said, you didn't protect us. That wasn't us. You know, I mean, if anything, they needed protection from us. You know what I mean? And of course they rested in their stupid rule two and all this other stuff. And just like, as we went along and we started looking at some of the papers that the attorney sent back, turned out they were so sloppy. Our papers were head and shoulders above theirs. I mean, I really lost a lot of respect for the legal system when I saw some of the garbage that these guys turn into the court. We're worried about, you know, double spacing and margins and all this other garbage with the, you know, the form, you know. And, you know, one of the things we learned what was that guy? Oh, Thornton. He teaches common law. That he was one of our first exposures to common law. And he taught a lot of good stuff. And he said, you know, content trumps form. He says, if you put a paper in the court, it doesn't matter if the form is slightly off. If you don't know the form, but the content is in there, they're supposed to correct it for you. They're not supposed to throw you out because you got the form wrong or you didn't put this on this line or that line. That's all petty ante stuff. That's not their job. Their job is to make sure that due process and justice is served,
mm-hmm.
not to grade your form. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Matter of fact, I remember, I think it was the movie, The Birdman of Alcatraz. He put one of his papers in on a paper bag. I mean, this is real life. And they had to accept it because they wouldn't give him any paper in prison for a while. They were trying to stop him, you know. But had a lot of valuable lessons, you know.
That's something that I learned quite a while ago. And that was, you know, when you're in a court of law, the judge is actually there. He's not just a referee, but if you ask the counsel of the court, you know, he's supposed to be upfront and honest with you about what you should, you know, what you should do.
Yeah, he's supposed to know the law too.
There is a common law maxim that states very clearly: for every injury, there must be a remedy, okay? Mm-hmm. And the courts must adhere to that. So, look, at you can take, you know, as Gerard said, a paper bag. You could take a roll of toilet paper and a pencil and write your affidavit on it and send, and it's as good as anything else. In a court of law, there is no necessity of a particular, I mean, it's good to have form and structure and work with that because it keeps things in order, moves things along. It's digested well by all of the participants. It's logically flows and all that stuff is nice and dandy. But for the individual who has the unalienable right of due process and the unalienable right to be heard and to be restored, and they come in, they don't need to follow the form. It is up to the court, as Gerard was saying, to try to bring this together for the individual so it could be digested by all parties and move forward for justice. But that judge is not a judge. When you get into this process, he puts on his hat as really not a judge, but a magistrate. And all judges are magistrates, and they, you know, they go back and forth. The only summary judgments that are possible in a court of law, which is where the judge can make the decision, as long as it's in favor of the sovereign and not the state or the corporation or anything of that nature. We're talking about a criminal thing or a situation where charges are brought up against or due process is being pursued. It must always be ruled in favor of the sovereign. So summary judgments are acceptable only under those conditions in common law. Summary judgment, let me just make the point. A summary judgment is a judgment made by a judge.
Well, our courts are not supposed to be, when you go in there, you are a well-versed wizard and know all the secret incantations of the secret spell book.
Yeah, we don't need to know any of that stuff. Justice. We only need to know the common law.
Yeah, and the common law is really common sense law.
Absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely. There is a paper we wrote on the common law. I'm looking for it. I believe it's here. If you go under education and click on weekly topics, okay, we did a paper on this. And we also, I believe we spoke about this on one of our Monday night programs. You can look that up under, you know, the weekly call tab.
Would that be rules of common law?
Rules of common law is the key. You know, people ask all the time, what are the rules of the common law? Well, that paper will answer the question of what
the
rules of the common law are.
Right there on the website.
This is everybody needs to know this. If you want to have authority, you want to exercise your unalienable right of government by consent, this is the beginning. Right here. It all begins in the courts, taking control of the courts. It should not be controlled by bar attorneys, bar judges, or any of these people. This should be controlled by the people, totally separated from the political process, totally separated from the judicial process as far as being a player in that role. But only interest is to make sure justice flows, common law moves through the process, and judges obey the Constitution and thereby the common law.
Absolutely.
And this is what they want to kill. This is what they've been working on killing and denying and hiding and, you know, to take the courts away from the people.
Well, you know, it's if you look at our world in general, they have done that in spades every time we turn around. Just go out and open the hood on your car if it's older than or if it's newer than 2000. All that plastic, you know, shields and all that stuff, basically covering up what is, 120-year-old technology with a bunch of fancy stuff that looks all space age and you can't do anything with it. You know, they've done the same thing throughout our society in covering up the basics of what is really the fact with a bunch of smoke and mirrors.
Exactly. You know, let me, if you don't mind, read a paragraph or two here in this common law. And because people are confused on the difference. You know, common law is not boring, not in any way, shape, or form. You exercise a lot of common law in our dealings with people all around us. You look at things in a logical sense, and you obey the main law of the land, which is do no harm. All law falls underneath that. But on the second page, we read common law eludes definition. Because it is not a list of laws, it is not built upon precedences, although they can be used, or a collection of equity court rulings. Common law is written into the hearts and the minds, being naturally common unto all men. God wrote it into our hearts. For even the godless have not the having not the law do by nature the things contained in the law, showing the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness. Common law is the laws of nature and of nature's God that proceed upon two self-evident truths called maxims. Number one, for every injury, there must be a remedy. And in order for, number two, for there to be a crime, there must be an injured party, without which no court may proceed. Maxims are brief statements of self-evident truth that control our common law courts. They provide discernment in the writings of our founding documents. It is an advisor to our legislatures and every consideration of mankind that seeks what is fair and best for all. And if you go down to page 3, we list some basic maxims so people get an idea of what these maxims are. But these are maxims on principles of common law. This is a common law maxim. All men are created equal. Men are endowed, number two, men are endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights. Liberty to all, but preference to none. The safety of the people is the supreme law. The safety of people cannot be judged but by the safety of every individual. To lie is to go against the mind. You know, common law is really truths, self-evident truths that cannot be denied, cannot be argued. You are innocent until proven guilty. That's a common law maxim. It's written into the fabric of who we are as a nation when we enter into our courts. You know, maxims on the legitimacy of government. Just governments derive their just powers from the consent of the governed. Right now, they're consenting to themselves because the people don't know how to consent to government. They're told, go take your vote. That's your government. That's your consent of government. Nothing could be further from the truth. We need to have 100% control of this government at all times, and we do that through the committee man. Mm-hmm. And people need to learn how the committee man is and the power and the authority of that office from the grassroots level in every election district. We also have to maintain control, which is our unalienable right of justice, to have just courts and to maintain control of that. People need to be involved with that. We need to administrate to the juries, the grand juries, the trial juries, to make sure that they are properly provided the necessary information and education and preparation for them to step up to do the job that they have. And it only takes a couple hours, because once we go through these things, they already know it. They just didn't know they knew it. We're just opening the pages in their mind. We're turning the pages of law in their hearts. And they know, they know, they know, they know, they see. And now they're prepared, because it is the mindset they have as they go in to do that job, to sit down, to decide innocence or guilt, or if it's a grand jury, to decide indictment or no. Mm-hmm. And people need to have this. And if we don't have this, then we don't have liberty. You cannot have the Constitution. You cannot have a true republic. You'll have a fake republic like Russia and China and all those other places where they wrote the laws. They use their control, their constitutions as control, where our constitutions are written by the people to free the people and maintain control over the fire, which is what government is. It's a fire. And today it's a fire out of control. And we need to be the firemen to come up and put those fires out and bring back into process the law, not only in our courts. Once we bring it in our courts, it'll flow into our government. And from our government, it'll flow into the world. And the world will be much more safety and focused for peace. I believe the world is primed for this. It's up to us.
I absolutely agree. What we have to do is just be able to convince people to, you do have the power. You have the authority. You just need to reach out and grab the brass ring.
That's it. But you have to have the proper education, which doesn't take long. Two courses will do it.
And it's available right there on your website at National Absolutely. Liberty Alliance. They can go in there, join the website in order to get to some of the courses that you can. And then once you take those courses, that will put you in line if you want to take further, you know, get off your butt and do something about it. Attitude.
And then we don't have a choice. We need to do it. We need about 30,000 people to really pull this off. We could do it with less, because we're going to try to do it even if we don't have the full 30,000. Mm-hmm. And we hope that we were going to get, if not before, maybe during the process, if we get the attention of what we're doing and people realize what we're doing, then we'll get that critical mass. Mm-hmm. But then we have to train the critical mass. We need people trained now to be able to bring us to that point. We need people educating themselves and being prepared. okay, to be able to take back the power reins of government.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, John and Jared, we are now getting real close to the top of the hour, and the next show is getting ready to come on board. Again, thank you for joining me this morning. It's always, always a great time to have you here. You guys bring so much really good, and it's information that people can grab out and take and go with and start helping to carry the ball down the field, because we need everybody on board. As you said, just said, John, we need everyone on board, and we all have a stake in the game. No matter what they tell you, we are not sheeple. We are the people, and it's hey, Gerard, we the people.
Gerard, how did that guy put it at the end of his video? We got it up there for the committee man thing and everybody into the battle, I think. How did he put that? Is that the way he put it?
Yeah, something like that. Everyone into the battle. I don't.
Everyone into the battle. Look, no one should remain home. Everybody needs to get involved. Some people could get involved more than others. Some people could be there for just support and build up the numbers, or even financial support. But people need to get involved. Every single individual that hears this message should not avoid this message, should not think that the other guy is doing it, because I can assure you, I'm here to tell you right now, the other guy is not doing it. We don't have the numbers that we should have, okay? So people need to get up and do it.
You know,
let's take this nation back. Let's support our commander-in-chief, who is now a commander. We're at war. He is the commander-in-chief. He's more than our president at this moment. He is our commander-in-chief at this moment. We need to get into this battle.
Absolutely.
You know, things have changed so much. In the 40s and 50s, in the students' typing class, they used to have them type. Now is the time for all good men to come to the aid of their country. Everybody used it. You don't hear that today. You know, so
I'm going to put that on our front page. I forgot.
Now is the time for all good men to go. That was the typing practice in the public schools for the kids to learn how to type, because it had all the letters, yeah, apparently. So, awesome. You know, it's just shows how much we've changed.
I just wanted to let you guys know that I have remained silent, been an interested listener here, but you've gained a new member. So I'm looking forward to the interaction.
Great.
Welcome to the club. Yeah. All right, guys. Well, I've got a little video here to kind of put a period and a welcome to Classy Lady. And I believe, are you going to have Pixels with you today?
I believe.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I believe so.
Okay. Well,
having some licorice for a snack just before.
Oh, there you go. All right. Well, John and Jared, thank you very much for joining us again this Sunday for another hour of what's going on at National Liberty Alliance. We need everybody to get on board. So
thanks for allowing us to speak, and Godspeed, everyone.
Godspeed. Yep. Absolutely. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you, everybody. Yep.
All right. All right.